Hello, I'm Jesse Wold from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this is a difficult part of your word, not because it's hard to understand, but because it's hard to accept. Give us humility as we read and consider it, and grace and strength to obey. May we honour you in all we do. May we be recognised as your people because we trust in Jesus and submit in all things to your word. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour. And now, it's over to the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with three of my kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys!
Hi!
Now, I've got a picture here, I wonder if you can tell me who this is.
A police officer.
That's right, it's a police officer. Now, does this police officer have authority over you?
Yes.
Do you know what authority means?
The ability to tell you what to do.
That's right. They have the right or the...
They're allowed to.
They are allowed to tell you what to do. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, does this police officer have the authority to tell you to only cross the road when the green man is on the light?
Yes.
He does. That's right. Do you know who gave him that authority?
God.
That's right. God gave the policeman the authority to do that. Now, if this policeman told you to go into the supermarket, grab a chocolate bar, and then walk out without paying for it.
No.
Does he have the authority to do that?
No.
But if he's asking you to do something that's right and godly, then you need to obey him. Because God gave him his job. God gave him that authority. Now, who's this a picture of?
Teacher.
A teacher.
A teacher, that's right. Does the teacher have authority over you?
Yes.
What sorts of things does a teacher have the authority to tell you to do?
What to write in your books.
That's right. What to write in your books?
To times tables.
Bring something to school. Like if we're doing show and tell or something.
Yep, that's right. He can get you to bring things to school. He can get you to learn your times tables. He can give you homework. He can tell you to be nice to the other kids. He can tell you when it's time to come inside and do schoolwork or when it's time to go outside and run around. Right. The teacher has authority because God has given him authority. And if God has given him authority,
we listen.
You need to obey. That's right. Now, if the teacher told you, look, I know you don't know the answer to that question, but if you just look at your neighbor's work and just copy what they've written down.
No.
Is that something you should obey?
No.
No. But if the teacher's asking you to do something that's good and godly, then you need to obey. One more picture here, guys.
Mummy.
That's right. This one is a mum. Now, this is important. Does a mum have authority over you?
Yes.
Very important that you learn that, guys. Now,
baby like baby Flicky.
That's right. Now, if your mum asks you to eat your broccoli, does she have the authority to tell you to do that?
Yes.
And so should you obey her?
Yes.
Very good. What about if she tells you to clean your room?
Yes.
That's right. Who gave Mum the authority to do those things?
God.
That's right. And if God puts somebody in charge, then you need to obey. Now, what if Mum told you to go and pull your sister's hair or scratch your brother on the arm? Is that something you should obey?
No.
No. If somebody in authority tells you to do something that's not godly, then you don't need to obey. But every other time when somebody has authority over you, you need to listen and you need to obey. Kai, can you read out this Bible verse for me?
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Romans 12 verse 1.
That's right. This verse just tells us that God has put people in places of authority, and it's our job to obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have put people in authority over us. Father, help us to obey, even when it's hard. In Jesus' name, amen.
How should we engage with the authorities? There's probably no issue more topical than that. For about 18 months, we've been living with lockdowns and government intervention in our lives that hasn't been seen in the West for generations. The expectation that people stay home for months, children unable to go to school or playgrounds, family unable to visit each other, whether you say it was necessary or not, it's unprecedented. And the regulations continue, which is why we need to split our church into two services. We never know whether we'll be able to attend that celebration, plan this event, see that friend. Protests have erupted, masks are enforced, and for many who want to keep their job, they're required to be vaccinated. This passage is very topical. But through church history, it's often been topical. Ben Nelson is a lecturer from the Presbyterian Theological College in Melbourne, and he mentioned one day he was teaching a survey course on church history. And he said that he was amazed, reading and preparing for the course, how often the church has grappled with issues of the government. In every age, there's been some kind of political controversy. The church has regularly wrestled with issues relating to the state. And we'd love clear answers. But often things are murky, and Christians disagree. Romans 13 gets used as a weapon. It's even been used as a weapon by some tyrannical rulers. But as we explore this passage, we need to accept that it gives us a general principle. The general principle is important, but there's more to say. There are exceptions. It's the exceptions we'd love to focus on. And we'll look at some of them today. But we can't let those exceptions become an excuse for ignoring the very clear general principle that God, through Paul, lays down for us. Paul tells us, obey God by submitting to the authorities. That's difficult to accept. But the expectation of God's people is clear. Obey God by submitting to the authorities. But first, remember where we are in Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1, this is all in view of God's mercies. Because God has saved us through Jesus' death, we're to live for him. This is another way we're to do that. This is part of a Christian life. So let's look at what Paul says about the authorities, the state. First, they're established by God. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. This deserves some thinking. What does it mean that God appoints the authorities that exist? Is he just saying that God's set the systems up? Did he decide that the United Kingdom would be a constitutional monarchy? But not that Edward VIII would abdicate, making his brother George VI king, leading to Elizabeth II? Did he decide that the Roman Empire would be ruled by a Caesar and just leave the details to chance? Or did he determine the details, decide who would be Caesar and how they got the throne? When you look at the kings of the Old Testament, God raises up and tears down, not just countries or systems, but individuals. Do you remember when the United Kingdom of Israel split into two nations, Israel and Judah? Solomon had turned away from God. He'd married many women from other nations, and he started to worship their gods. There were idols and altars all over the place, and he sacrificed to their false gods. So a prophet went to Jeroboam and told him he'd get 10 tribes, while Solomon's son got the rest. Jeroboam would be king over Israel, while David's family would still rule over Judah in Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, managed to drive away 10 of the tribes. They rebelled against him because he was too harsh. Why? Here's what 1 Kings 12:15 says. The king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Throughout the Bible, God doesn't just raise up nations, he raises up individuals. Which means he raised up Kevin Rudd, Tony Abbott, Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison as Prime Ministers. He raised up Dan Andrews as Premier. That doesn't mean God endorses everything they've done, but they've been placed in that position by God. And Romans 13:1 says, because they've been appointed by God, we're to be subject to them. Not to submit is to reject God's authority. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For most of us, our natural reaction is to think of exceptions. But let's not let ourselves do that, not yet. Let's dwell on these words. If we reject the authorities that God has placed over us, we're resisting God. That should make us very cautious. If we want to declare that particular laws can be ignored or resisted, we need to be absolutely sure that they qualify as exceptions to the rule. They can't just be laws and regulations we don't like. They can't just be silly or unnecessary. That's not what gives us permission to ignore laws. Paul tells us we're to obey God by submitting to the authorities. That's always our starting place, and we need to take that seriously because, as Paul said in verses 1 to 2, the authorities are established by God. And as we turn to our second heading, in verses 3 to 7, we see that they're God's ministers, serving him. Look at verses 3 to 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Most of us are tempted to shake our heads. Even before COVID, we were suspicious of our leaders. We were always waiting for the next scandal, the next broken promise. And there wasn't much difference in attitude between Christians and those who aren't Christians. Myself included, I confess. But these verses say that our government are God's ministers, meaning they're God's servants. It's because of verses like this that we use the word minister and prime minister in politics. Our legal system developed with the understanding that those in political power are there to serve God. They have a sphere of authority and responsibility, like a church minister. While the church minister is responsible for spiritual needs, the political minister is responsible for various societal needs, like law and order. But what about aggressively anti-Christian governments? How can they be God's servants to do us good? What about in China? Christians are being oppressed, arrested, charged. And it's not just Christians, people of other religions. It's not a place that you'd go to be free and prosperous and happy. And there are plenty of other countries full of oppression and persecution, but where would you rather be? In a country like China, where your freedoms are extremely limited, or would you prefer to go to Somalia, where there's a civil war, multiple rival groups fighting for control? Governments, even bad governments, are gifts from God. Even bad governments have laws against murder, violence, and theft. Bad governments are better than anarchy because they do, at least partially, execute wrath on the wrongdoer and praise the one who does right. Remember how Paul said in chapter 12, verses 17 to 19, that we weren't to seek revenge but leave it to God? The ultimate way he judges sins against us is at the final judgment. When Christ returns, all those who sinned in any way will be judged, unless they've been forgiven by faith in Jesus. But these verses tell us another way God judges wickedness, sometimes at least. Verse 4, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So, verse 5, we're to be subject to them, not only because we're scared of being punished, but because of conscience, because they're God's servants, and as God's children, we want to obey him, which means submitting to those he's established over us, which means we pay our taxes, not finding illegitimate loopholes in the tax code, but paying what we owe so they can do their job. Just like we give our offerings at church so we can fulfill our ministry of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to sinners in need of salvation, we also pay our taxes so the government can bring law and order. But we don't only pay taxes, we pay honour and fear or respect. And this is one of the hardest things for us in Australia to do. We always want to tear our leaders down. We're always suspicious of their motives and dismissive of their intelligence, but we're to respect them. Because just like God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Cyrus, he raised up Dan Andrews and Scott Morrison. We won't always like their decisions, but we're to respect them. We won't like how they use our taxes, but we pay them. We might think we know better, but we submit. We're to obey God by submitting to the authorities because they've been established by God and they're his ministers. But I know you're impatient for me to get to the exceptions. Once civil disobedience was an interesting theoretical question for Australians, but suddenly civil disobedience is being seriously considered by many Christians, even some church leaders. And it's not only COVID policy. It's laws wanting to stop some people being prayed for, even if they ask for it. So when should we disobey government? Because even though generally we're to submit, that isn't always possible. There will be times when this command, even though it looks absolute, should be regretfully overlooked because we have a higher loyalty. We're to be loyal first to God. If his servants want us to sin, we reject their command. And so, let's turn to our third heading, God, not men. The classic is in Acts 5, where the apostles were arrested and the Jewish leaders threatened them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." And what did Peter and the apostles say? "We ought to obey God rather than men." A law was passed in Daniel 6 that for 30 days you could only pray to King Darius. But Daniel quietly did what he always did. He went to his room, opened his window toward Jerusalem, even though he was in exile far from home, and prayed to the God of heaven and earth. He didn't announce it to all who'd hear, but his loyalty was to God above all, which meant he couldn't obey Darius, like the apostles couldn't obey the Jewish leaders. And we could think of examples not in the Bible. Those who helped slaves escape in America. Those who worked against the Nazis in Germany. As Christians did these things, they showed their higher loyalty to God. But we need to be careful. Just because we don't like a particular law doesn't mean we can rebel against it. To take the simple example, just because I think a road should be at 80 instead of 50 doesn't mean I get to ignore that law. I need to grit my teeth and submit. And there are other laws which seem silly or irrelevant to us, but still we should submit. Remember, when Peter was asked if Jesus was going to pay the temple tax, Jesus made it clear that that law didn't apply to him. He was the son, and the king doesn't collect tax from his son. But so that he wouldn't cause offence, he sent Peter to get some coins from a fish he caught. Sometimes we should follow the law even when we don't think it matters or applies for others. And so, when can we disobey government? Generally, only in two situations. Only if, one, the government tells us to do something that God has told us not to do, or two, the government has told us not to do something that God has told us to do. In other words, if we're told to disobey God by either doing something or not doing something, then we're to disobey government to obey God. And as we think about civil disobedience, we need to remember love and charity for one another. Because Christians will disagree over when is the right time to disobey. And we've seen that especially during COVID. Some Christians have disobeyed lockdowns because we've been commanded to gather together. But others will point to the responsibility of governments to protect their people and to the fact that churches weren't especially targeted, but it was a law for all people. Some Christians will say it's okay for a short period of time to make some services only for the vaccinated. But others will say that's completely unacceptable. But let's not dismiss those who disagree with us as being unchristian or unthinking. They're doing the best they can in strange times, seeking to love people, to obey God and do as much good as they can. We might have strong views, but Christians can come to different conclusions, and we need to learn to love one another in the midst of our differences. There are regulations that leaders of churches will need to decide whether to obey or not, whether they go too far or not. But let's bring this down to the individual level. What does this mean for us? What about masks? Either you think masks are effective or you don't. Does thinking that a law is silly or unnecessary mean we can disobey? No. I put this in the camp of Jesus and the temple tax. It's unnecessary, but it's not a sinful law. If you have a medical reason not to wear them, don't. But don't break the law just because you don't like it. Thank God for our political system. When we disagree with laws, we can campaign and lobby, write letters, make calls and vote. But not liking a law isn't a good enough excuse for disobeying it. Not if you're God's child. Those authorities have been established by God as his minister. They're imperfect, but they're to be respected. What about if someone asks for prayer because they're struggling with their sexuality? They want to follow God, but it's difficult. The law will soon come into effect to make that illegal. Do we refuse to pray? No, that law is anti-God. We do break that law. And we pray we'd be ready to face the consequences. But don't focus on exceptions. Don't let them distract you from the general principle, the main point. Paul says to obey God by submitting to the authorities. They've been established by God as his servants. There are some exceptions to the law when the government wants us to sin, but until then, we obey, even when it's silly, even when we're convinced they're wrong, because God has placed them over us. If your conscience is burning because you've disobeyed Romans 13, remember the mercies of God. There is forgiveness in Jesus. He died for your sins, your rebellion. And so turn to him, be forgiven, and be a living sacrifice, obeying God by submitting to the authorities. Let's pray. Holy Lord, while this is so simple to understand and follow in normal times, these are especially difficult times. Government has regulated our lives more than we've ever known. There are so many areas that the people in our society disagree about and are fearful about. Even the people in our churches have different opinions. Give us wisdom in these matters. We pray we wouldn't be quick to react and disobey, but would make every effort to be submissive to the government that you have established over us. We thank you for the system of government we have in Australia, for the right to vote, for elected representatives. Help us to engage in the political system with grace, with wisdom, and with a desire to do good to others. We pray for your church that even in the midst of all our disagreements, we would be united together in Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Please help us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Because of restrictions, on Sundays we need to have multiple services, and you'll need to book your seat. Those are at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. That's 9:30 and 11 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.